The Ramah in Sif Aleph, towards the middle of it, the Ramah says, "The didactical laksarach asher atzibur hayoseh hogun vayoseh gavur b'torah v'masim tovim." There are a number of qualifications that are required for someone who's going to be a asher atzibur Rosh Hashanah. I mentioned this last time, but I just want to once again reiterate that you have to be someone who is learned in Torah, someone who is practicing mitzvahs. Beyond that, b'shehei ben shloshim shanim, minimally should have achieved the age of 30, and the Mishavura points out because a ben Levi is worthy of doing the avodah at that age, and since tefillah corresponds to avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore we are drawing upon that as an age which is the minimal requirement. Beyond that, it mentioned shehei nasui, you should be married. Again, all these qualifications are not a prerequisite. That is to say that it's possible to daven and be a shliach tzibur if one is a yirei shamayim, one is a God-fearing person. That certainly is something which is indispensable. But these are certainly preferred qualities that one should have. Namely, one is 30, one is a ben Torah, one is someone who is full of mitzvahs, one is married. But at the end, the Ramah says, "Vi u'kol yisok shemayim." All of Klal Kasher, Rakshia, Merutza, Lekol. The prerequisite, which is absolutely not dispensable, is that the congregation has to be desirous of that person. I mentioned that there's a Mishnah in Brachas. The Mishnah says in Brachas, perhaps you encountered it in your studies of Mishnayot, the Mishnah says, Shulcho Shalom Kamosa. There's a concept that the Shulcho of the person is like the person himself. So who sends the Shulcho Tzibur to David? The Gabbai, correct? And the Gabbai represents the Tzibur. A Shliach Tzibur has no right to go ahead on his own and decide to grab the Omud, if I can use the expression. He's supposed to be appointed by the Tzibur. And that's a very significant factor. It's very nice that the Shliach Tzibur should have a beautiful voice. That's a good thing. It's a very positive thing. He'll be able to arouse and inspire the people. He'll be able to motivate them, correct? However, that's not the sole quality that's required. Shalom Aleichem. Nice to have you. You're a bracha for all of us. Okay, I want to mention, we did mention it last time as well, the minhag of fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we said that's mentioned by the Mechaber here in Shulchan Aruch. Also, if you look in Gimel, the Mechaber says not to blow the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. As you know, we blow shofar all Chodesh Elul. Who's we? Ashkenazim. Sfaradim do not blow the shofar in Chodesh Elul. Sfaradim do is they say slichot. And so their slichot is the entire month. The slichot of Ashkenazim is considerably less. That's what we mentioned here as well. There's also in Dalit, the Mechaber mentions about taking a haircut at Rosh Hashanah. And also the Ramah tells you, there's a practice to go to the mikveh. Many, many people, even though they don't go to the mikveh the entire year, but they go to the mikveh and Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur. That's a very beautiful thing. Erev Rosh Hashanah to go to the mikveh. The Ramah says, Mishum Keri. And the Mishnah Berurah points out there's another option that's available for those who don't go to the mikveh, but whatever the case is, certainly going to the mikveh on Erev Rosh Hashanah is a very long standing kind of practice. As a matter of fact, there's also a similar practice going to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur. That's what we mentioned by the Rosh in Masechet Yomah. The Rosh even quotes a position of one of the Gaonim, Rav Sadia Gaon, to make a bracha on that tefillah of Erev Yom Kippur, which is a tremendous chiddush. When does a male zachar make a bracha going to mikvah, a chiyuv daraisa, to go to mikvah at Erev Yom Kippur? And on this, there's a slew of achronim who discuss the source of that particular minog and why one would make a bracha. Our practice is not to make a bracha, Ashkenazim practice, but to go to mikvah at Erev Yom Kippur, simply according to the Shulchan, is based on the pasuk, ki bayom hazeh, on this day, yechaper aleichem Hashem will atone for all your sins. So you're about to enter Yom Kippur, hopefully in a state of Tara, state of purity, Lifnei Hashem, the way the Ramban interprets Rabbi Yonah. Before you enter to a matzav, Lifnei Hashem, Titaru, you should already be Torah. So here this minute is quoted here by the Ramah and there Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
So I have a question, just going back for a second. When you said like the Svardi Minhag is to say Slichos for the month of Elul, right, and hours is to go Shofar, how did they derive
to
say
Slichos
and we derive to Shofar?
So that's the Rishabura. Totally, you're right. They're two totally different minhagim. Rishabura points out, we mentioned it last time, Rishabura actually quotes from the Shulchan Aruch that Moshe Rabbeinu, again, it's based on Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai, And this was obviously done, as he writes, Keneged, he writes, look at the Mishnah Berurah in the introduction to this siman, Tav Kuf Pei Aleph. Mashenagim Rosh Chodesh, Oz Olam Moshe Bahar Sinai L'Kabal Luchas Achronos. Moshe went up to receive the second Luchas, and that's when they blew the shofar, and that is considered to be an Eis Ratzon. It means both Sfaradim and Ashkenazim are trying to capitalize on the Eis Ratzon. This is a propitious period of time. The Medrash describes Chodesh Elul is a time when Melech Basada, the king, is in the field. The king is approachable. The king is accessible. The king demonstrates imminence. Often we speak about Hashem as being Melech Elyon. What does Melech Elyon mean? Transcendent, beyond, ineffable, not approachable, not accessible. But after Chodesh Elul, Hashem is approachable. Anila Dodi, Bedodi Li. So therefore, the two are two separate Milhagim. You are correct, but somehow the way the Shulchan Aruch presents it, the Ramah responded to the Sfaradi practice of saying Slichot or Chodesh Elul by saying that Ashkenazim don't have that minhag, but rather we have a, if you will, a minhag of a similar nature, because obviously both minhagim are designed to bring us to tshuva, to bring us closer to Hashem, and therefore that's the idea of both of these minhagim. So there is a common denominator in terms of that. I wanted to mention also, since I mentioned to you, we'll get to Tav Kuf Pei Gimel in one moment. But before I do that, I started talking about an issue that has been raised with me many, many times. But from the time I came to Eretz Yisrael, and one of the reasons I made Aliyah was to be zochet to Birchas Kohanim every day. I like Birkat Kohanim. I like it very much. I get a bracha from Hashem. I don't even have to go to an Admor, but to one of the great Sfaradi Gedolim. I can do that too. I'm not against that. But I have the opportunity to get a bracha from Hashem on a daily basis. So I mentioned to you that people have asked me if they come late to davening, they don't have a shofar, they're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Can they listen to the shofar in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? So I mentioned last time, it's not only that, but there's someone in my shul who told me he comes late all the time. That's not a good quality. That's not a good quality at all. Don't emulate that. That is not worthy of emulation.
Nobody here comes late.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. So anyway, so this fellow comes and basically most of what is happening in shul, he hears it during his silent Shemoneh Esrei. He's so behind. Kriya Satara, he stops in the middle of Kriya Satara while he's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Kia Shofar, at the end of davening, he hears Kia Shofar, he stops in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Birchas Kohanim, he's still saying his silent Shemoneh Esrei, he hears Birchas Kohanim. So many years ago he asked me about this matter, so whether he's obligated to be mafsik and to listen to the Shemoneh Esrei. So the fact of the matter is that the simple pshat is he should not be masik. And I'll tell you why in each of the instances. First of all, regarding the first issue of the shofar at the end of davening, that's only a minhag that's mentioned over here by the Rabbah. And therefore, I mentioned already from the poskim that they indicate we're not talking about Kiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Kiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, I don't know, you blow in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? In the silent Shemoneh Esrei. That's what Sfaradim do. There are some Ashkenazi kihilot that do that as well. But that we understand very well because that's called Kiyat al Seder HaBracha, which according to Rashi in Chumash and Rashi in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, where the Kapha Samar Metebes Rashi is a Din Daraisa. That's how the Ramban and the Balamor and many Mishonim, the combination of Kiyat with the Bracha. The Bracha means Malchiyot, the Chol Neshofer, that's a Din Daraisa. And therefore we understand why that. Those kiyot are obviously the person who stops in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. There were years of Soloveitchik blew in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, the silent Shemoneh Esrei, and then there were years he did not do so. You find that to be a little bit strange, since you are very consistent. The Sfaradim have a clear tradition, so the Ashkenazim also have a pretty clear tradition. Rabbi Soloveitchik has his own thing, if you will, in some respects. But that those kiyot are very critical. In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we understand that there's a combination. For example, if I decide to make the mitzvah matzah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, I decide after the bracha that I said on the Pesach, the Kaiso of Asmanim, I will now eat some matzah. What would you say? Is that a good thing to do? No. Why? There's no connection between matzah and Shemoneh Esrei. As far as I know, even though matzah is very tasty, especially if we have some tasty matzah, but there's no conceptual connection between matzah and the recital of the bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Kiyah Shofar, there is a connection, a very strong organic connection between Kiyah Shofar and Shemoneh Esrei, and that itself would warrant blowing during the Shemoneh Esrei, as you mentioned, during the Sound Shemoneh Esrei, and as a matter of fact, in Hadras HaShatz, but the two are conceptually connected. But again, Kriyas HaTorah, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, That gentleman who comes late in my shul and wants to hear Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of Shem Hesay, it would seem, Lafi, simple pshat, that that's not the correct thing to do. It's a hefsek. Middle Shem Hesay. Especially since, according to most Rishonim, Kriyas HaTorah is a chovas tzibur. It's an obligation upon the, how shall we say, the tzibur. Is each yachid obligated to listen to Kriyas HaTorah? So if you are a briska, the answer is yes. If you're not a briska, the answer is no. There are many rights from all over Shas that Kriyas HaTorah is a chesed tzibur, not a chesed yachid. Almost, I would say, even Mishnayos, and many of the Rishonim say it very clearly. So therefore, why should this guy who comes late in my shul, why should he go ahead and decide to listen to Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei? That's a very strange thing to do. What about Michas Kanim? The same story, according to my humble opinion. I would say it's a hefsek. There are Poskim who disagree, who contend that you can't stop the Michas Kanim. Why should that be different? So you might argue, what?
The
Takana is in the That is the Takana Michas Kanim, to say in Shemoneh Esrei. So therefore there's a basis, here there's a connection between the Shemoneh Esrei, but there's no connection between Kriyas HaTorah and Shemoneh Esrei. There's no connection to the Tzikiyah Shomer, the end of davening, for this minig Ashkenaz that the Ramon mentions, and Shemoneh Esrei. And there's no connection between eating matzah, as much as you like matzah with jam on it, perhaps, or maybe even chocolate spread, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, that there's no connection whatsoever. Okay, I mentioned that because of a shayla that comes up. I wrote down a number of shaylas, so therefore I'm going to mention one or two more. Yeah.
If Christopher was a Chovas Yachid, then it would be appropriate for him to stop?
V'zei yesh makom badun gamke. But in Pashas, I would say the answer is yes. Oh. If there's a Chovas Yachid, then maybe there's a basis to go ahead and be mafsik in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Even though, as I agree with you, that yesh makom badun. There's a Mishnah Berurah here in Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, Sidkot Dalet. Did I mention Shalom Aleichem? How are you?
Good, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, fine.
Yeah.
I tried to start at 2 o'clock, if you possibly can remember, all of you, on the Wednesday. I know it's new to you, so that's fine. Until you get into the, what do you say? The pattern. The shmung. There's a Mishnah Berurah here in Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, Sidkot Dalet. Very fascinating Mishnah Berurah. He says that these bakashos that are said b'loshon targum, machi u'masi, the Sfarim say that also.
Yeah.
That's right. I looked in the Sfarim Slichot just to see what's going on. And actually I happen to own them, a number of them, probably older than all of you together. Whatever the case is, I have from my forebears.
We say Machayu Masay.
Zlicha. Machayu Masay. Zlicha. But anyway, Machayu Masay, and Mordi Bishmai, the Shabura said, don't say them, there's no meaning. Why? The Malachi HaShoret Einan Nizkakim Baramit. Malachi HaShoret, apparently, guess what? They don't understand Aramaic. And what apparently is the implication of this Mishnah Berurah? We need the Malachi HaShoret to help us. Usher in our tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mashen Ken HaTzibur does not require the assistance of the Malachi HaShoret. So if you are, again, as Mishnah Berurah says, when there's no minyan, no minyan, slicha, I hope you'll forgive me. I'm not so schooled in the Sfarim tradition. So if there's no minyan, so then what do? You don't say these because they need the Malachi HaShoret to assist them. A tzibur does not require Malachi HaShoret. I saw actually many years ago, I haven't looked at it recently, but perhaps Rabbi Yifer Shlita will be able to shed some light in Yechaved Da'at of Rabbi Avadya. He has a tshuva about this matter, about this comment in the Mishnah Berurah. And he explains that when you have 10 people, so the Gemara said the presence of the Shekhinah is present, correct? When you have a minyan of people, how do we know when there's a minyan of people that the Shekhinah is present? Anybody ever learned the Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos? I imagine that you may have done in your lifetime at one time or another. There's also Gemaras about it. But let's Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos, perhaps you get so fancy with Gemaras, that once you have a minyan of people, there's a Shekhinah is there. The Shekhinah meaning Hashem is present. Only when there's a minyan, Hashem is present. Is Hashem not present in this room? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is really everywhere. Up, down, all around. So it's the pshat. Anyway, that needs a philosophic response, which I can give you. Not for now, it'll take a few hours. But I'm just simply indicating that the Rav Avadya has in that tshuva that when we have 10 people, so the Shekhinah is present. And therefore, they don't require any assistance. Malach HaShoris, Kavim Kotev, Mitzvah Profession. So this to explain is Mishnah Berurah over here. And he explains further, the Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara says that, Gemara Navav, I believe, that because Rav was found in shul, even what? Without a minyan. If there's no minyan, if you're in shul, you're in good shape. You agree with that? My father, Hashem, was very makban atzilu mitzibur. From the time I'm 5 years old, I've been davening mitzibur. What do you say to them? kudos to my father. That's really the kudos belong to him, not to me. I was essentially kaifin al-sachem reitzani. That means they put a gun to my head. And they told me, you come to shul at the age of 5. Shakris mincha emar. So for decades in my life, the last 55 years or so, I missed maybe probably 10, 15 minyanim, no more than that, only because I'm on airplanes. On airplanes, I don't have mitzvah. It was a minyan on the airplane that just came 2 days ago. They asked me to be messiah for the minyan. I said, no. And they said, why not? I said, because there are many Yisurim that are potentially problematic on an airplane, including Gezel Shina. What's Gezel Shina? People are sleeping. What are you doing? Interfering with their sleep. Two, Tzar Bali Chaim, which is according to many, is a Din Daraisa. Tzar Bali Chaim, and you cause other people Tzar, pain. Namely, you are standing there and it's a packed area, a small area, and you're, shall we say, sticking your elbows into their heads and doing a few other things that are not so pleasant. Three, you are usually in the bathroom area, it's on an LL flight, and you are blocking the bathroom. Someone has to go to the bathroom. And maybe Mr. Brewer has three different stages, three levels of going to the bathroom. Let's assume he's holding by number one. Go about the shaktsu, it's like Maramakis and Mechabit Shalom. So therefore you're over about the shaktsu. That is, he's over about the shaktsu, not you. You're a tzaddik yisrael, you're davening. And there are a few other serum that may be involved. So I don't daven on an airplane. What do you do? Betzibur on an airplane, chas v'shalom. I daven, because not betzibur, I daven in my seat. Plus I can't have kavana when there's turbulence. And somehow there's always turbulence when they start to daven. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing thing. And guess what? All these things happened on the plane 2 days ago. Every single one of them. But when the stewardess came over to the people and asked them to please sit down because the plane was shaking, they said, it can't be matzik in the middle of Shemesh. Chas v'shalom. So the over on several Yisurim, the Haisa, but the Dabu Tzibah, Baruch Hashem. Don't mind me. I just have to express my opinions. Okay, then I just want to mention, since I'm at it, one or two other matters also that relate to this issue that I wanted to talk about, actually. And maybe we'll just turn, since we don't have a lot more time, in the Simanim issue, Tavkuf Pei Gimel, or Tavkuf Pei Dalet, is that what I said? Tavkuf Pei Gimel, sorry. Dvarim Shenogim Lechol B'Leil Rosh Hashanah. You all have this minhag. I imagine all of you sitting in this room have this minhag. There are those who don't have this minhag. I'm not sure exactly why. It's only Gemara Krisus, Gemara Hurrius, and Chavon Shalar. But there are those who don't have the minhag. Kind of it. The Gemara says in Hurrius, and the Gemara says in Krisus that Simanim Nilsa. What does Simanim Nilsa mean? That doing things that in effect are simanim that will hopefully, in Yetz Hashem, become concretized in the course of the year. That's why the Gemara said that there's a minhag to eat certain kind of food items. And this quoted here by the Mechaber. You see Tavkuf Pei Gimel, everyone have it? Mechaber said, Yei Adam Rogel Lechol Rosh Hashanah. I don't know how to translate these particular words in English. Rubio Dan Tilton, Karte Silka Tamri Kra. What are those items? Black eyed peas and carrots. And other kinds of things, many people have a whole seder about this matter. The Chayodam, in a very famous explanation that I heard from Maran Harav Zatzal, so Kadirah Maran Harav, told the Mechaber. Anyway, so just have to express myself.
Which Maran Harav?
Harav Soloveitchik. And there are those, okay, allegedly Talmidim of his. Who have a different bent. Anyway, the Rav quoted the Chayot, and the Chayot has a Ramban, the famous Ramban, Ramban the Chumash. You learn Ramban al Torah? Good idea to do so. Not all then, at one time, but I suggest you take one Ramban a week, and you learn that Ramban, Nachmanides, is very beautiful. Ramban is an absolutely marvelous, marvelous parish. So on Tuesday nights, actually, to Shulabed, I'm involved this year with Ramban al Torah. That's what they asked me to do, as I did last night. Anyway, but the Chayyadam quotes the Ramban. It was very good last night, no? I enjoyed it immensely. So the Ramban has the following thesis. I believe it's in Parshat Lech Lecha, if I'm not mistaken. And the Ramban is based on Tanakh. I was speaking to Avi Spitzer, Shlita. Wow, we have such Talmidim in the Yeshiva. Ari Spitzer, what a Talmud. He told me he was in the Chidon HaTanakh. I'm very envious of him. And I wish I had been in the Chidon HaTanakh. Shalom Aleichem, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. We tried to start at 2, if you can remember. It's, I'm just Dai la Chakima Birmiza, since you're such a Chacham, so I like to give Chachamim, they should have the remez. Maybe there's a Zer Chevrim?
Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize. Here, there's a Chevrim. Anyway, so the Ramban says the following. In Tanakh, you have sometimes, you ever learn? It's a Dai la Tanakh, that I'm just suggesting to you in general. I would take it upon yourself this year to try to learn Tanakh as much as you can. From the beginning, from Sefer Yeshua, till the end of the Rayon. It's a good thing to know Tanakh. I actually try to learn Tanakh 5 or 6 times a year. I usually do it in my car, while waiting for the lights, waiting for the intersection to, shall we say, calm down. And from all the cars, etc. that are there, I have a Tanakh right next to me, on my left-hand pocket seat. And it's a good thing to learn Tanakh. Very good, very important to learn Tanakh. You must know Tanakh. Really, it's very significant. Okay, so among the things I mentioned in Tanakh, Kimat, every Navi, especially Navi Machon, Shayo, Yibyo, Yecheskel. I'll just give you one example, but there are many, many examples. I'll give you maybe an example that's perhaps more well known to you. If you study the 12 minor prophets, which I imagine you have, Hosea. You know Hosea? How do they pronounce him in English? Hosea?
Josiah.
Okay, something like that. So he actually was told by the Almighty to go ahead and marry a woman who's a prostitute. What do you say to that?
Hashem.
Excellent. Your instincts are beautiful. Right on target. Right on target. A Navi is told by the Almighty to go and marry a Zonda. That is a bit strange, bizarre, weird, eccentric, and outlandish. Even I would say grotesque. I want to add a few more words. How in heaven's name did that happen? So of course the answer is, what's the answer? That there are a lot of things in Tanakh that are a little bit of a bizarre nature that the Nevi'im were told to do by the Almighty, by Hashem's Baruch. Hashem tells them to do it, they have to do it. Why? Because there's a particular message that the Navi is instructed to deliver to the Jewish people, and he was instructed to deliver it through this rather bizarre kind of directive that was given to him. So the Rabban in Chumash, who happens to subscribe to this position, is one Rishon who does not subscribe to this position. And by now, maybe you're familiar with which Rishon would not subscribe to this position and finds difficulty with all this? Maimonides, the Rambam. So the Rambam says that all these things are not to be taken literally. They did not happen literally. But rather, these are obviously, if you will, all b'chalom, all in a dream, and a kind of nevuah that the Navi received. But the Chayyim quotes the Rambam. The Rambam takes it literally. Now does it take literally? He, the Rambam, understands all these things clearly, as I think his lashon is gzeras irin. That's his lashon. Also the Ramban. Gzeras irin lo yishtana b'shum ponim. And the Ramban indicates that the Nevi'im do all kinds of things which are designed, as I said a moment ago, to really send a particular charismatic kind of message. K-E-R-Y-G-M-A-T-I-C. Those who read on Soloveitchik's essays are very into that language. I assume you read his essays as well.
I read Holy Man of Faith.
You did?
Yeah,
it's cool. Way ahead of me. You started much earlier than I did.
I don't understand it, right?
Okay, so then you and I will discuss it.
Let's do it.
Believe that. Mm-hmm. So just come to me, I'll be glad to discuss it with you. I'm very into Soloveitchik's essays. I feel you can't be Jewish without reading that. It doesn't say that in the Brisa Yevamos, but okay. that talks about people becoming converts and the like. It doesn't even mention Shulchan Aruch. They must have forgotten that particular passage for some reason. I'm a chassid gadol of Soloveitchik. You probably figure that out by now, and you'll figure it out even more so along the way. Whatever the case, as I told everyone, he only saved American Jewry, and he also saved the American rabbi. That's all he did. Essentially, he saved Jewry as well. I'm not against Rav Avadia, don't misunderstand me. He also did wonderful, wonderful things for Klal Yisrael. But the one who saved the American Jewry, and the one who saved the American rabbi, and the one who saved Jewry in general, was Rabbi Rav Soloveitchik. So I have a bit of a bias towards it. Anyway, but the Rambam is very into the Rambam. So the Rambam writes that the Nevi'im do certain things, concrete things, to send a particular message. And the message is, whatever the particular message is, in the case of Hosea, a zona is someone, as you indicated very beautifully, is not a good thing, not someone that you should actually try to avoid the red light district and try to avoid those areas. Not a positive thing for us. And therefore, Jews should try to avoid, if you will, what is a nimshal. We should try to avoid abandoning the Almighty, like engaging in idolatrous behavior, things of that sort. That's not a good thing. That's basically the mashal that Hosea was being given when he was told to marry a woman who's a zona. And so the Ramban says that these are designed to indicate or convey concrete messages. So therefore, when a person eats these items that I mentioned here, Rosh Hashanah, in effect, what am I doing? For example, when I take the apple and dip the apple in honey, what am I doing? I'm asking Hashem to give me a sweet year. By doing certain actions that are of a sweet nature, I in effect want to concretize that sweetness, and that's what the Hayyadim says, that's the basis of this Mechaber here in Shulchan Aruch. Now it's very interesting that by the way, I should ask you this as well. The Shulchan Aruch mentions here to do this on Rosh Hashanah. What about the second night of Rosh Hashanah? I believe all of us have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, if I'm not mistaken. Bein Sfardim and Ashkenazim, and the Temanim, and anybody else. That's the Gemara, Masechet Beitza. Anyone here do it 2 days, or people will do it 1 day? What's your practice? What's your minhag? There are 2 minhagim, of course. There are those who contend that the second night does not require simonim. And the truth is, as far as I know, it's not found in Poskim. I don't recall in Poskim who speak about doing simonim on the second night. However, the minhag in Klal Yisrael, the truth of the matter is, the reason for that is because, now we have to talk to Hasfaradim HaTorei, because this is Al Pi HaKabbalah. The first night of Rosh Hashanah is B'chinat Laya, and the second night is B'chinat Rachel. I assume you're familiar with these concepts, being of the Sargent nature. And Rachel, if you remember, gave the Simanim to Laya, etc. And therefore, the Simanim are only practiced on night number one. That's the basis of Kabbalah for this particular... but whatever the case is, Nara Nara Pashtei, everyone should follow the Minhag Abotav. So who here practices Simanim both nights? Just by show of hands, I'm curious to know who doesn't. All the others only do it one night? You do, how many nights you do it? Two. And so who does it one? Maybe raise hands for one? Okay. So there are those who do it only one night. For the Shulchan Aruch, again, one has the impression that it's only one night. Now the reason why I want to mention, there's a very interesting, look here in Siv Bet, in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Siv Bet, my father, Oliver Shalom, got a kick out of this Rambam. You know, we used to learn Shulchan Aruch in our house when I was 5 years old. My father went to yeshiva, but he felt we should learn Shulchan Aruch. So he came across this Rambam. Yesh v'dakti kim shalol lechol egozim, she'egoz v'gematria chet. Don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah, because egoz v'gematria is chet. Now anyone can figure out the gematria. I assume you took some mathematics. Aleph, Gimel, Vav, Zayin is how much? Numerically? 1 and 3 is 4, and 6 is 10, and 7 is 17. Chet is 8, and 9 is 17, and Aleph is 18. So first my father, we learned the Balaturim together. We learned the entire Balaturim, of course, for many years in our house. My father was very into, especially the, since he's a good union man, he's a math man. Math and physics, those are my father's areas. So most of the gematria, the Balaturim, don't work out. They're off by one, off by two. So you have to know the system. And of course here the system is, you don't count what? Don't count the Aleph. You spell Chet, Chet, Chet. Is that the way you spell Chet?
No.
Of course not. How do you spell Chet? With an Aleph. So what exactly is going on over here? What is the nature of this Bechlal? And in general, there's a second reason that's given over here. She'en marvin kicha v'itniyah v'vatan ha'tfilah. Because it causes a person to expropriate. And that means to saliva and spittle that emerge. I'm trying to speak metaphorically. And then that could undo tefillah. So that's the case. The Rambam says that when the second time, even almonds also should be also, even though it's not the gematria chet, but ma'ab kicha v'niyah v'vatam at tefillah. And you know, people ask me, here are the questions that a rabbi often is asked, I'm sure Rabbanim and Yeshiva probably are also asked. What about if I have an egos that was cooked, or that was baked? So people, these are the shalas, the people ask me, every shana, I always get tons of these shalas. And they were baked with other macholim. Is that included under the strictures of the Easter over here? Pillay ploy. So I always say it depends on the two reasons that I mentioned here by the Mishnah Berurah. I think everything is a nafkamina, we'll tell you on that. But in other case, I'm just telling you some of the issues. Okay, and the reason why, by the way, some have a minute not to eat at Gozin until after Yom Kippur. Some actually have a minute until after Shana Rabbah. It's very fascinating and holding that exists over here. But here, Ramah says very clearly, not just Ramah here, I just want to read to you a language which the Mishnah Berurah calls the Sifkot Gimel. Yesh nogim litvol prusat hamotzi bidvash. What do you do? Everyone here does that? And you dip the, what do you call it, the hamotzi in honey. Correct? What about salt? Do you use salt also? Or Rosh Hashanah night, you don't use salt. You don't use salt.